Well, can you believe that it is almost October? That is literally happening this week. It's this week. This Friday, we're having that outdoor worship night. We're so excited to come together. And you guys are already here, so you know, you're maybe more comfortable gathering, but we're hoping that maybe people who aren't comfortable gathering indoors are gonna come together with us. We're gonna take communion. We're gonna hear a message. We're gonna sing together. It's gonna be a great time. We'd love to see you here out in, I think if it's not too wet, we're gonna be in the back on the grass. So that's gonna be awesome. This Friday, 6 p.m., we'd love to see you. We are continuing in our sermon series called Make It Personal Today, where we've been asking this question, how do I make it through when I don't know what to do? And you can go ahead and put up that next slide. How do I make it through when I don't know what to do? And I've just been reflecting on this question. What do you do when you don't know what to do? What is your tendency? What do you tend to do when you're unsure or uncertain? For me, I know that I'm very tempted to, when I don't know what to do, it's very kind of backwards, but I tend to want to do more when I don't know what to do. Oh, I don't know exactly how to proceed. I don't know exactly how to handle this situation. Well, I'm going to try harder and I'm going to do more even though I don't even know if it's the right thing to do. I just get busy, right? I remember when this happens, you know, like in our jobs, right? Particularly if you've ever been like new at a job. You don't know what you're doing, so you tend to just try to be busy, try to fill your schedule with things because you want to act like you know what you're doing. I remember when I was in my first couple weeks here at Grace, I had a boss who, he decided that everything he hadn't been able to get done in the last 5 years, he was going to put on my 90-day objectives, right? Like, here, you can just do all this in 90 days, right? He's not on staff here anymore anyways. But he put all this stuff on my plate, and I internalized it, and I realized that I was on staff at this church for just 2 weeks, and I was already stressed. I was already overwhelmed because I was trying to do it all. I thought I was supposed to know it all, and I was literally so anxious. And I walked into one of our other pastor's office. His name's Eric. And I just shared with him how overwhelmed I was and how stressed I was and all the things that I was juggling, all the things I was trying to do. And he looked at me in the kind of like sarcastic but compassionate way that only Eric Sanzone can. He said, "Ryan, how long have you worked here?" I said, 2 weeks. And he said, "Do you know how to turn on your computer yet? Do you know where the bathroom is?" Like, those are the things that you should be figuring out. Those are the things that we're expecting you to be learning at this point. You're not supposed to be stressed out about all the things that you're trying to accomplish. And yet, when I didn't know what to do, my tendency was just to do more, to get busy, to start doing things. I don't know if you experienced this at the very beginning of March this year. When COVID happened, when people started to shut down, when things started to go haywire back in March, what was your reaction? When no one knew what to do, how did you respond? Maybe some of us were like me and we just started doing things. I just started getting busy. I just started making plans, writing sheets of paper, calling people, trying to make sure we were doing everything that we were supposed to be doing instead of slowing down and taking a step back and realizing maybe we should slow down and try to figure this out before we just start doing things, even if we're not sure they're the right things. Even those of us who maybe were tempted to freeze when we don't know what to do. Maybe you're like that. You're not like me doing stuff, but you just kind of freeze. I think some of the times we even freeze is because we feel the pressure to do it all, to try it all, and so we get discouraged and we get paralyzed. I think some of us, when we don't know what to do, when things slow down, like in COVID-19, we can't even handle not being able to do stuff because we're so geared into accomplishment. We're so honed in on what we can do, and that's who we are, that we don't even know how to handle it. And I'll just be honest with you, that's my struggle. That's what I have an issue with, uncertainty. I don't know always what to do. And the way I'm going to talk about it today in our message is this difference between seeing ourselves as a human being versus being a human doing. A human being versus a human doing. Now, as a human being, you have to do things, right? That's like part of being human, is doing things. And yet, if our primary lens of how we view ourselves and how we think others view us, and maybe even how God views us, is that we're a human doing, defined by what we accomplish, defined by what we do, then it's going to leave us anxious and stressed and ultimately disconnected from our Heavenly Father. And we're going to see this contrast between a human being and a human doing, or at least that mindset that we have for ourselves sometimes, by looking at a passage from Scripture and two women from the ancient world who had two very different views of how they were to relate to Jesus. Now, these two women have become famous for these different postures of their heart. Their names are Martha and Mary. You may be familiar with this story, and particularly if you're here and you're not a person of faith, you may wonder, what do I have in common with women who lived 2,000 years ago? Well, I think that we're going to see that we actually have a lot in common with the way that they respond to stress in their life. And I would love for all of us to realize that this message, this passage is for all of us today as we look at this passage. And one of these women views herself and has the lens in her relationship with Jesus of a human doing. And one of them takes another path, and she makes it personal. She makes her faith personal in this passage. So we're going to dive in to Luke chapter 10. This is from one of the biographies of Jesus' life, and the gospel writer Luke writes this. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Now, the first thing we notice is that Jesus is on their way. He's with his disciples, he's with some other people, and he's traveling. This is oftentimes what Jesus did. He was traveling from town to town. He was teaching. He was doing miracles. He was kind of traveling because he wanted to get the word out, and he wanted to impact as many people as possible. And so he brought his people with him, and he oftentimes didn't know where he was going to stay. And so he comes across this village, and there's a woman there named Martha, and she decides to open her home to him. Now, we don't know at this point whether Martha, kind of taking in these people and hosting them, being hospitable to them, she's kind of, you know, doing it reluctantly. Is she like, oh my gosh, you're here, I feel like I should? You know, sometimes we do that. We offer kindness, we offer ourselves in hospitality to people because we feel like we should. Or maybe she's excited. Man, I've heard about this Jesus guy. I'm so excited to welcome him and his people and his followers into my home and to host them. We're not sure at this point. But we know that Mary here is excited because she's sitting at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, sitting at his feet, listening to what he said. Now, we kind of get a sense of how Martha's feeling about this all by the next few verses as we continue to read. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, she came to Jesus and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Tell her to help me. Martha, whether she welcomed these people into her home because she was excited to host Jesus or whether she was a little bit reluctant, we know at this point that she's stressed by all the things that she has to do, by all the preparations that have to be made. Now, it doesn't say that Martha was just making preparations. It says she was distracted by them. It's making this very clear point that she has become obsessed not about the guest who's in her presence. She has become obsessed about doing things for the guest, in this case, Jesus. She has forgotten that she is not just a human doing, she is a human being, and she needs to recognize this identity first and foremost if she's going to not be distracted by all of these preparations. Now, the second thing I want you to see in this verse is her statement and how she comes to Jesus after she's gotten stressed. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Now, there's a lot we could say about this statement and what it reveals about Martha's heart, but the first thing that I notice is that she's kind of making a judgment call here, right? She's making a judgment. She's coming to a conclusion about what's most important in this moment. Clearly, Mary could be helping her instead of sitting at Jesus' feet. Clearly, her working and making the preparations and doing all the things that need to be done is better in this moment, is what she should be doing, is what Mary should be doing. She should be helping her. Don't you care, Lord? In some ways, saying, Jesus, look at me. Don't I get credit? Aren't I doing the right thing? And isn't Mary doing the wrong thing? So concerned about all that needs to be done. She can't just be with these guests and be with her Lord Jesus. Now, we've been saying in this sermon series that personal faith, that making our faith personal, is defined like this: confidence in the one who controls the outcomes despite what the outcome might be. This is what it means to make it personal. To make our faith, to make our relationship with our Heavenly Father personal, is to have confidence in the one who controls the outcomes despite what the outcome might be. And this has everything to do with viewing ourselves first and foremost not as a human doing, but as a human being. Recognizing that it's not what we do and it's not what we accomplish, and it's not what we can control on our own, but it's what God is in control of and how He is working in our midst. This is what Martha couldn't see in this moment. She wanted to be the one in control. She thought the outcomes were up to her. And so Mary is the one displaying personal faith. So how do we know if we've kind of gotten into this mindset of human doing? How do we know if we've gotten into this Martha kind of mindset in our lives? Like I often have found myself in, maybe you've found yourself in, just doing things to do them because we're not at rest deep, deep inside of us. Well, I just want to like list a few things that I think like describe what it's like to have this mindset of a human doing. A human doing is constantly in a hurry. A human doing says yes to too many things. A human doing feels bad for not being able to do more. Now, as I read those, I'm not unaware that really all of us, if you're American, right, and particularly if you've been living in the year 2020, we've all felt this. We've all had a tendency to feel like this is who we're supposed to be. This is what we're called to do right now, right? Just be busy, constantly be in a hurry, say yes to everything, and feel bad for not doing more. But what if there was a different way? What if there was a way that we could be at rest inside of ourselves? If we could actually turn down the volume of this society and our culture that tells us to run, 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 and maybe more importantly, we could turn down the volume within ourselves, the insecurity that tells us that we're defined by what we do, defined by how much we can accomplish. Well, I had this experience just a few years ago when I was, again, still on staff here at Grace, and we were over at the old Norfolk location over off East Low Creek Road, and I was working one morning in my office. And it was early in the morning, and I was kind of attacking the day. The to-do list was long, and I was feeling just on edge. I was feeling overwhelmed. I was feeling anxious again. This is kind of a common theme sometimes in my life. And the question is, how am I going to deal with it? And in this particular day, instead of just kind of gritting it out and pushing through, I decided to take a step back and remember why I was doing what I was doing. Why am I in this job? And that God was actually with me. And so I decided to take a walk around the building. As I took a walk around the building, I was walking through the kids' hallway. And if you've been in the kids' hallways, even here at our new spot, we have all these sayings that are posted everywhere on these posters, and they say different things and different truths that our young people, we really want to know. And if you go over to our Sunshine Island wing, which is our preschool area, there are three truths that we want the Sunshine Island preschool students to know, and it's that God made them, God loves them, and that He wants to be their friend forever. And so as I walked around the building, I came across this wall in our old location, and it said, God made me, God loves me. God made me, God loves me. And you know, those are two really simple truths. They're truths that if you had asked me, do you believe those? Do you know if these are true? I would have gotten the right answer on the test. But in that moment, as I was stressed, as I was overwhelmed, these two truths made all the difference that day. And I took a picture of this. Is literally a picture I took that morning because I was like, I want to remember this. And I remember this moment that I'm not defined by what I do. I'm not defined by what I accomplish. I'm not defined by who I can impress with how good I am at what I'm doing. I'm defined by these two realities. God made me. God loves me. I'm not a machine producing things. I was made by God. And He loves me and He defines who I am. And so how do we deal with this tendency? How do we deal with this insecurity, this tendency that we have to act more like Martha than like Mary? Well, the voice of our Heavenly Father, the voice of God speaking these kind of truths over us has to be louder than the insecurity within ourselves. The voice of our Heavenly Father telling us that He loves us, that we are enough, has to become louder than the voices of busyness coming from outside. And it needs to be louder than this voice saying like Martha does here, "Lord, don't you care that I'm in here doing this all by myself and Mary's out there not? Tell her to help me." That's the voice of busyness, the voice of insecurity. We continue in the passage and we see how Jesus responds in this moment to Martha. He says, "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." It will not be taken away from her. We see that Mary is prioritizing here her being with Jesus over her doing for Jesus. And Jesus, you know, he could have said, "Man, you are really neglecting your responsibility, man. You should go help Martha. What are you doing? Why are you sitting here with us?" But no, he says, "She's doing what is best. She's doing what she should be doing, Martha. And I know there's things to be done, and I know that, you know, in every moment of life, there's always more to do. There's always a ton on the task list. But don't miss this, Martha. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her," sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about what this means for you and I and how this can help us take a new and fresh posture with our Heavenly Father. But the first thing I want to say here is just kind of like an aside, right? It's not really related to the whole point of the message, but I feel like it's worth saying about this passage, and it's this. Mary, in this scenario, has taken the position that's typically only reserved for men in this culture. If you notice, Martha is the one who's in the kitchen. She's preparing, she's making the food, she's making dinner. She's stressed out, she's anxious, overwhelmed a lot of times how hosts are. And Mary has decided to slow down. She's decided to take the place next to the rabbi and to be taught by him. Now, that's one of the dynamics that's going on here, is that Mary has taken the place that is not okay in this culture to take as a female. And one of the reasons I can imagine why Martha is like, "Can you tell Mary to get out of the men's circle and come help me where the women belong?" Right? And Jesus is like, no. That's not how this works in the kingdom of God. This is not how this works in the community of Jesus. And I just needed to pause here and say that women are not second-class citizens in the kingdom of God. If you're here and you're a female, if you're here and you're a woman and you've ever felt inferior, you felt put down, or you felt like you just got the jobs that no one else wanted to do, or you were always behind the scenes and never actually got to lead or never actually got to do anything important, Jesus is here in this passage reminding you that you are not a second-class citizen, that Jesus sees you and God sees you and he elevates you and he puts you at the table where you can receive from Jesus and you can have access to Jesus and you have an equal footing in your relationship with your Heavenly Father as anyone else. And if you've ever been made to feel inferior or not worthy or not as much dignity as the people around you by any person, by a father, by a husband, by a pastor, I just want to say that says more about them than it does about you and your worth and your value. So with that, let's get back to Mary and Martha and talk a little bit about this attitude here, right? This attitude that Mary has, that at the foundation, she knows that she is with Jesus and that being with Jesus is the most important thing, more than just doing for Jesus. Now, she has this posture of being a human being before she's a human doing things. Now, how do you know if you're a human being, if you have that right mindset about your relationship with God and your relationship to what you're accomplishing in the world? Well, I listed a few things here. A human being takes moments to slow down and breathe. A human being acknowledges their limitations, knows that they're a human being who has to sleep a few hours every night, who has to take breaks, who gets tired, who has to eat food, who has to take care of themselves. A human being acknowledges their limitations. A human being also is able to say no to things without guilt, recognizing that we're not God, we're not ultimately in control, and so we can say no. We can say yes, but we can also say no without feeling guilty, without feeling bad for not doing more. We can be a human being. And I think when it comes to comparing Martha and Mary in this passage, we see this challenge that our Heavenly Father, I believe, wants to speak into each of our hearts today. And that is to give up control, to be more of a follower of Jesus than we are an American, than we are a person who's just defined by our productivity and defined by what we can accomplish. You see, because personal faith, making it personal, doing what and applying what we've been talking about in this series is having confidence in the one who controls the outcomes, despite what the outcome might be. Giving the outcomes to God, doing what we can, serving him where we're called, but ultimately resting in the fact that God made me, God loves me. I'm not defined by what I do, I'm defined by who I am. And so I want to just kind of hone in on one application for us today, and it's an application that actually came up in their very first sermon that Eric gave in this series. We were talking about routines, we talked about a Sunday routine, we talked about a community routine, and today I want to talk specifically about our daily routine. Our daily routine. How do we cultivate this Mary spirit? How do we cultivate this idea, this lens of viewing ourselves as being a human being? Well, a daily routine of spending time with Jesus before we do anything for Jesus is something that's fundamental to the Christian life. It's fundamental to our identity as followers of Jesus, is creating space to remind ourselves that we're a human being and not just a human doing. And so a daily routine could just look like spending a few minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, maybe more, slowing down, getting time to rest in the presence of God and recognizing that he is here with us, engaging with him through scripture, talking to him and listening for him to talk back, taking some of those moments in the rhythm of your day. And maybe you're somebody here who you've been walking with Jesus for a long time. Maybe this daily routine thing is something that's been a part of your life for decades and you've had different seasons and different rhythms. Maybe in this series, make it personal. Maybe as we're looking at personal faith, having confidence in the one, having confidence in God who controls our lives, we could recommit ourselves to this daily routine and maybe approach it in a fresh way. If you want some resources on how to do this, on how to engage, maybe you're a little bit newer to following Jesus, maybe you're a little bit newer to faith in general, and this would be a whole new experience for you. We'd love to help. We'd love to give you resources. And so we've actually made this URL, www.makeitpersonal.church. And right there, you'll find all these different routines listed that we've been talking about during this sermon series. And we'd love to give you resources for having a daily routine. So that's the what of a daily routine. That's what it is. But let's talk about why for a second. Let's talk about why we need this daily reminder, this daily routine in our lives. Because just as we've been saying, all of us, we've been so conditioned to view ourselves a certain way. And unless we have a daily reminder that we're a human being and not a human doing, the voices from outside of ourselves, of busyness, the voices from within ourselves of insecurity are going to drive us instead of being driven by our identity and who Jesus says that we are. As we think about this passage with Mary and Martha, I just want you to think about their relative locations to where Jesus was. You see, because one of these women was far away. She was in another room making preparations, far enough away where she couldn't hear what Jesus was saying, couldn't hear what Jesus was teaching, couldn't hear who Jesus was saying she was. And one of the women was close to Jesus, right there listening at his feet, hearing what he was teaching, hearing what he was saying about her and to her. And I think ultimately, even if Mary was doing all these preparations and was in the kitchen making things ready, she would have been at peace and she would have had a calm about her because she knew who she was and she was close to Jesus. And Martha, even if she was sitting in that room, might have just been anxious because her identity had not been rooted yet in who God said she was, that she's not a machine, that she's a child of God. That she's not a machine, she was made by God. That her identity, her worth comes not from doing something, but from being something. And that's what I want for us. And what's ironic is that when it comes to followers of Jesus, if you're here and you've put your faith in Jesus and you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father, that you want to walk out on a daily basis. One of the areas where we get so wrapped up in this identity of being a human doing is in our daily routine of spending time with God, is it not? The very thing that's supposed to remind us that we are loved, that we don't have to accomplish, that we don't have to do anything, that's what that time is for. It's for us to rest in the control of God in our lives. And yet so often we get wrapped up in the checklist and the to-do list. Man, I didn't do it yesterday. Man, I didn't do it again today. What would it look like to approach it in a different way? To approach it in a slowing down and being instead of speeding up and doing. Well, if you're going to do that, the two things that I'd encourage you to do is, number one, make a plan. If you're going to have a daily routine with God where he reminds you who you are in him and your identity in him, God made you, God loves you, you have to make a plan. And maybe this is making the 100th plan that you've made in your life for what you're going to do, spending time with Jesus. Or maybe this is a new thing. And if it is a new thing for you, I'd encourage you to, I meant to bring it with me, but I started this devotional just this past week. It's a devotional that we have kind of recommended to our church during this time. It's this devotional called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality Day by Day. Emotionally Healthy Spirituality Day by Day. And if you go to that website, makeitpersonal.church, there's a link right under the list that says Make a Plan, where you can click on it and go find it and purchase one on your own. There also is a link to the first 5 days of the devotional that you can have just digitally, where you can try. It's a great, great resource. And there are two different passages each day, but you can only just do one. That's what I've been doing. I've been choosing one of them and doing it. And you know what was really funny? Is I'm on day 4. I started doing this just a few days ago because I wrapped up another plan. Started doing Emotionally Healthy Spirituality Day by Day. And I woke up today, did it this morning. It has a small little passage that you meditate on, take some time to be still. And the passage this morning was Luke 10, 38 to 42, Mary and Martha. And it was a great reminder for me. I'm not just giving you this message today, I'm trying to live this message myself. I need to hear this. I need to hear that I'm defined not by what I do, but by who I am and who God says I am. And so let's make a plan. And maybe let's try some new things in our daily routine with God. The second thing is we need to make it priority. We need to make it priority. You can't just make a plan. You have to be intentional to do it. You have to prioritize this routine. Now, how do you make something a priority? Well, I was kind of thinking about this. I remember I was giving a sermon one time a few years ago. It was on money and generosity. I was talking about this kind of church word that we use around these circles of churches, and it's the word tithe, right? Tithe, this word. And in the sermon, I said, man, tithe is just a word that means tenth. It's just a word that means tenth. And it's talking about giving 10% of your income back to God for him to use for his purposes in his kingdom. And someone came up to me after the sermon, and they were like, you're wrong, Ryan, you're wrong. Tithe doesn't mean tenth. And I was like, yeah, it does. It means tenth. And they were like, no, Ryan, it means first tenth. It means first tenth. And when we talk about financial generosity, it's this idea of prioritizing by putting something first, right? And sometimes when we need to prioritize something in our lives, one of the ways we can do that is by putting it first. So if you need to make a priority to spend time slowing down and being with God, maybe do it first thing in the morning. Maybe you're unlike Corinne Holland, who led us in worship today. She talked about being a morning person. Maybe you're more of a morning person. Maybe that's something you need to do in the craziness of your life. Just do it first thing. Maybe it's a different time of the day where this is the time that just makes the most sense. Maybe it's the most important time that you have in the day because it's time that you have free. What it would look like to take that time and slow down and be with your Heavenly Father. Maybe when I think about prioritizing something, I think about sometimes giving up other things, right? Sometimes making something a priority means it's going to cost you something. Maybe it means sleep. Sometimes that's what it means. Maybe it means entertainment, right? How many of us are like, how can I spend 30 minutes with God every day? That's so much time. But we watch 1, 2, 3 episodes of something before we go to bed, right? And I get that, right? We need to relax. We need to rest. But maybe God, through his word today, is reminding us that if we're really going to slow down the insecurity within ourselves, if we're really going to receive our identity from our Heavenly Father and not from what we're doing all around us, we have to make it a priority, and we have to make a plan. Because ultimately, you need a daily reminder that you are a human being, not a human doing. And at this time, I'm going to ask the band actually to come back out because we're going to sing one final song, and it's going to be kind of a response song, so I would ask you to just remain seated where you are. And this song is by a woman named Audrey Assad. She's an incredible songwriter, and it talks about these themes that we've seen with Mary and Martha, these themes of doing and being. And one of the lines in the song, it's kind of this lament to God about how tired she is, how tired of running, how tired of being so busy, and yet all she really needs and all she really wants is to see God and to receive her identity from him. And so as this song plays over you, I just encourage you to ask God, where am I tired? Where am I running so fast and so hard that I'm missing you? And maybe it's even a place that you don't expect, or maybe you didn't realize until coming in and hearing him in this space. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and pray with me. And as we do that, if you feel comfortable, I'd encourage you, just open your hands. Open your hands so during this song, you can really receive what God wants to say to you. Let's pray. Father, it's so easy to feel like Martha, to feel like we're defined and our worth is defined by what we can do, by how successful we are, by how fast we can run. But Lord, thank you that today you're reminding us that Jesus loves when we slow down, when we rest in your presence, when we rest in who you have said that we are. So over these next few moments, would you speak? Would you show us how you view us? Would you show us where we need you to come in and make things different? We give this time to you. We commit it to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.